This is Raphael Pope Sussman with the Center for Court Innovation. This podcast is part of a series of dispatches from the Courts Community Engagement and Innovative Practices in a Changing Landscape Symposium held in Anaheim in December 2015. The conference focused on justice reforms, including recent developments in California, public safety realignment, and Proposition 47. Public safety realignment refers to changes brought about by 2011 legislation that shifted responsibility for certain populations of offenders from the state to the county level. Proposition 47, a ballot initiative passed by referendum in 2014, reclassified certain low-level felonies as misdemeanors. I hope you enjoy listening. Hi, this is Raphael Pope Sussman with the Center for Court Innovation, and we're here at the Courts Community Engagement and Innovative Practices in the Changing Landscape Conference in Anaheim. I'm speaking with Magnus Lofstrom, Senior Research Fellow at the Public Policy Institute of California. Magnus, thank you for speaking with me today, and welcome.
Great to be here. Thanks, Raphael.
So your research is focused on crime trends and recidivism in the wake of Prop 47. What are some of the most notable recent findings?
It's a little bit early to say exactly what Prop 47 is doing when it comes to recidivism and crime rates. There are some data that are being released, but we're at this point, we're only roughly one year after the implementation of Prop 47. But there are a lot of valuable lessons we can learn from the other major reform that we saw here in California. That goes back to 2011 when we look at the public safety realignment reform. And some of the highlights of what we've learned from that reform is that, and there are similarities, at least when it comes to the prisons, like realignment, Prop 47 has reduced the prison population quite noticeably. Realignment drew down the prison population more so in the first year compared to Prop 47. Jails are also affected by these reforms, but quite differently, where realignment put additional pressures on county jails. Prop 47 relieved some of those pressures. So since Prop 47, we've now seen a reduction in the jail population, bringing us down to levels that we haven't seen in quite some time. So that's good news. It's giving the sheriffs who are running our county jails a little bit of breathing room to implement some of the necessary strategies to deal with the challenges that were presented with realignment. If we look at recidivism rates, we saw not really big changes coming with realignment, and I think we had some expectations that they were going to come down, but we didn't see that, at least not in the first couple of years of realignment. I think that there are a couple of reasons for not reading too much into that and claiming that, well, realignment didn't work in the sense of reducing recidivism. Part of that is that realignment came about quickly, just like Prop 47, happened very quickly. And in the case of realignment, we need to give counties time to really find out what really works well in order to reduce reoffending. There are also issues about what the different measures that we use to talk about recidivism, what they mean. And they might be affected by the reform through the actions of local criminal justice agents.
If you read the newspaper, you might very well believe that crime has jumped or that it's completely rampant. Why the disconnect between the data you're seeing and people's perceptions of public safety?
Well, I think there are a number of cities that have reported increases in crime post Prop 47, and this last year in 2015, we saw similar things with realignment. We saw some increases as well in violent crime that were reported, but those were similar here in California to what happened in other states as well. So the crime rates fluctuate quite widely and frequently, and we have to be a little bit careful. One thing is that we can do is see, well, if there's a specific reform taking place in one state like California, and we see some changes in crime rates, do you see those changes in other states that didn't have those reforms? Violent crime is up in many other parts of the country as well in 2015. What is behind that is hard to say. Prop 47 was a big reform, and it's understandable that there are concerns about crime. But at this point, we haven't had an opportunity to really take a close look and assess what role that reform has played so far.
Are there national lessons that you think people could draw from the work that you're doing?
I think there are absolutely lessons for the rest of the country. California, prior to embarking on these big reforms that we've seen in the last 4 or 5 years, had an incarceration rate that was in the middle of the pack. We weren't high users, low users, but we've dramatically reduced our reliance on incarceration, and we've been able to do so without seeing much of an impact on crime. Our research on what the role of incarceration is in terms of crime prevention shows that it's really limited. And when you're at those kind of incarceration rates that we saw in California, which are representative of the country as a whole as well, there was no evidence that violent crime went up. There was some impact on property crime, but it's really limited. In our case here, we only saw auto thefts go up. And when we look at it from a cost-benefit perspective, it shows that incarceration is not a cost-effective way to manage public safety, that we need to look at alternative strategies. Increased policing is one thing that we can take a look at. That's something that is more cost effective, but we shouldn't put all the eggs in one basket. Think about cognitive behavioral therapy. We can look at interventions that take place at-risk youth and other younger offenders, and essentially look for ways to prevent young people from entering into a criminal justice system.
Fantastic. Yeah, thanks so much for taking the time to speak with me.
No problem at all, Raphael. Good talking to you.
This is Raphael Pope-Sussman of the Center for Court Innovation, and I've been speaking with Magnus Lofstrom, Senior Research Fellow at the Public Policy Institute of California. For more information on the Center for Court Innovation, visit www.courtinnovation.org.